Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Dina, Parashegen, Igarta. So go back one Pasuk. This is the text of the letter. Parashegen means the text, Igarta. Dis Shilachu Alohi, which was sent Alohi to him, up to who is Alohi? Al Artach Shasta, Malka, to Artach Shasta, the king, which is, I can't say that, I'm going to say the 50 times, the name of Koresh, the king, Avdoch, Ano, Avdoch, we are your servants, Enosh, the people, Avar Nahara, of the other side of the river, Ucha Enes. So they're setting here this, the following, we're going through it over here in Pasuk Yud Beis, is the Dina means what follows. In Pasuk Yud Beis is the text, Par Shegen is the text of the letter, which we are sending to you. Who is you? The Pasuk defines you is the king, Koresh, who is called Artach Shasta, the king. Avdach, we, your servants. Who are your servants? We are the people, the Enosh, the simple people that live Avar Nahar on the other side of the Euphrates, referring to the northwest, Ucheenes, and the land of Cheenes. And we learned that last week, Cheenes, a few days ago, the Cheenes is a reference to Eretz Canaan, or it's a general term which refers to the entire region. Pasuk Yedeis, what did they say to the king? Yidiyai lehevi lamalka, let it be known to the king. Yidiyai means Lashon of Da, Lehevei, it should be known, Lamalka. Di Yehudoye, the Jews. Di Siliku min Livasach. Siliku means who have come up from you. Where have they come up? Aleina, Aso, Li Yerushalem, who have arrived, who have come up from you to us here in Yerushalayim. Kiryasa, the city. Kiryasa. Mirodita uvi ishta bonayin, are planning to build a city. You have to put a comma afterward Yerushalem, because Kiryas is a kadma, which leads into the mapach of Moridisa. A Kiryas saw a city that is Moridita, which is rebellious, uve ishta evil. A rebellious and evil city, bonayin, they are planning to build. The Jewish people who have come up from you and have arrived here in this part of the world, this land, are planning to build a city that will be rebellious and evil. Vishuraya Ashchelilu. Vishuraya, the wall. Shachlilu. They have laid the foundation. Shuraya means the wall. Shachlilu means to lay the foundation. Vishuraya Yachitu. And Ushaya, it also means the wall. The Yachita means the string, Lashon of a Chut. We'll read the Mitzvahs in a moment. They're planning to string the wall together, to connect the wall that will serve as protection to their whatever they're trying to construct with inside. They're laying the foundation of their wall and they want to connect. Yachitu means Yichabru, to connect the wall. It's all of the walls that they're building together to form some type of protection, some type of barrier between them and the other part of the world. Okay, let's see Pasuk. Let's see the Mitzudas and Pasuk Gidalf and Yidbeis. We'll try to go very quickly. Pasuk Gidalf in the Mitzudas, Dina, Zos, Sidur, Toifes, Huageris. The following is the arrangement of the Toifes. Yavim Sech Legitin. There's the Toireif and the Toifes. So Toifes means the essence of the letter. Asher Sholchu Olav, V'choiz Mefarish El Ar Tach Sasta, Hamelech, Avdoch Rotzolomer, Anachnu hakosim heima avodecha. Anshe Eivir hanavi Yosha Cheenes. We are your real servants. Do not think for one moment that the Jews, they are your servants. They're not. They're rebelling against you, but we are your servants. Pasuk Yidbeis in the Mitzudos. Yidiyeh lehevi yaduah yehei lemelech asher hayehudim asher alu me'amoch. Lavo yeleinu. The Jews that have ascended from your nation to come here to us. Hinei bohu liyushlam. They have come here to Yerushalayim. Kiryas sohi'ir. The city that they're planning to build is a city hamaredes, is rebellious. V'horo'o he behema evil. Boinim, they're building v'achoyim roitzim ligmar, they want to conclude the wall, ulechalois, and to conclude it, v'hayisodo siyikshiru v'yicharbu ze lezeh, and they're going to connect the foundation one to the other, v'tzulemar, mesaknim mokoyim hamakulkol lihiyois kol hayisoyd b'chibur echad. They're preparing a place that will be a source of damage for you, and it will be, and they're preparing this foundation to connect everything together. So watch out, these Jews are planning to do harm to your malchus. Let's see the Rashi, where the rebellion says, let's see the Pasuk Yud Beis in the Rashi's. In Rashi, the following is the text of the letter, Parshegin Kamayu Pashegin Hakisov. Rashi is from the Megillah, and Rashi is taking that it's not exactly the same spelling. Here it's Parshegin, and there in the Megillah it's Pashegin, with a sof instead of a resh. But Rashi is telling us that the two words are identical. The following is the text, the letter, Dishalchu Alohi Asher Sholchu Ol Elov, which they sent to the king, Artachsasta, El to Artachsasta, Avdoch Avo Enosh Avor Naharuch Enes, Avdo Avdecho, your servant's name, Anshe Ever Hanor, the Anshe Che Enes, Kol Akum Hamenuyos Kan Nichlolos Bichlal Ze. Okay, so Rashi is saying something very interesting. All of the non Jews living on the other side of the Euphrates are included in this term of the Ever Hanor Uche Enes. Ze Shakulum Hoyu Litzad Eretz Yisrael Shu Ever Hanor, Laos Mashachim Bebavel. Relative to those living in Bavel, those living on the other side of the river, relative to Bavel, is called the Ever Hanor Ucha Enes. V'zehu techilas ha-michtav, and now we begin to begin the letter, this is the letter, Avdoch Enosh Avar Nahara, V'goymer Ad Lo East Lo, until the end, a couple of psukim later on, until end of Pasuk Tezayin. Tezayin is where it includes Lo Isai Loch, we don't want any harm to come to you, we'll come to that later on. Okay, Pasuk Yud Beis in Rashi, Yidia Lehevi Lamalka, Davar Yidu Yehe Lamelech, the Yehudoi Hashem, Yehudim Shalom Mi'itach Aleinu Bo Liushlam, they have arrived. Kiryasa Miradata Uvi Ishasa Banyin Ir Moiredes Vichoitas Hein Banyin, the building of rebellious and an evil, a city of sin. Vishuraya Shachlilu Viachoimos Yostu, they have laid the foundation for the walls. Vishaya Hakisolim Yachitu. So Rashi over here says that these two words are identical. The word Shuraya and the word Ushaya, which the Krivich Siv we take out of Ushaya. Yachitu, what does it mean Yachitu? Sarah, the word Yachitu is a chut. A chut is a psil. Loshen psil kamo im, michut, v'yatzeroch nal. Avraham said to Melech Sedom, don't give me, I don't want anything from you, I'm not going to take from you a chut until from a thread to a shoe strap. Michut, shehem tchoifrim umacharim hakasolim ze im ze. So Rashi figuratively says that they are connecting. A chut is something used to stitch, to sew. You connect garments with chutim. So here they're taking, they're building sections of the wall in different locations of the city, and they're connecting one to the other. I saw somewhere else, if I'm not mistaken, that when it says the chut, it means it's a leveler, to level the foundation. You see today when they build, they put up bricks. So they take strings, and they use strings as a way to make sure that it is level, it is perfectly level, because if the foundation is not level, then you're going to have the Tower of Pisa, it's going to come collapsing down. You want it to be perfectly level. So here it's another interpretation. What it means over here is that they are spreading vushaya yochitu, they're taking chutim, and they are stretching them to make sure that the foundation that they lay is perfectly level, because they're planning here to build something which is magnificent, which is very large. If you're building something which is very small and insignificant, you don't need to bother to make it sure it's level. Because big deal, how tall is it going to be? How strong does it really need to be? So if it's not perfectly level, it's not a big deal. But if you're planning to build something massive, something very significant, very strong, then you make sure the foundation is perfect. So here, the fact that they are being so precise, they're reporting to Artachshasta, that the Jews are extremely precise in laying the foundation of the city of Yerushalayim, that is an indication they're not just planning to build a little city. They're planning here to build something massive. And this major construction project is going to be a source of great rebellion to your malchus, to your authority. Pasuk Yud Gimel.
The term Shuraya, meaning wall,
yeah.
We find it in
Shur, the wall. The daughters, the Abinos, okay, they looked over the wall. So the word Shur means a wall. Okay, very good. It's like Yashar. A wall has to be straight. Yashar, okay. Pasik Yud Gimel Ka'a now. Yidiyah Lehevi Lamalka. Now, let it be known to the king. Dihain Kir Yisah Doch Tis B'nei. We're warning you, the king. We're warning you, Karish. If it will be that this city will be built, Vishuraya Yishtach Lilun, and the wall, the foundation of the wall will be laid, if you will allow them to continue, Minda Velo V'Halach. Now these are three terms, three different types of taxes. The many interpretations of what they are. Let's just read the words first and we'll go back. Minda Velo V'Halach, three forms of taxes. Lo Yin Tinun will not be delivered. It will not be Lashon of Yitain. Yitain will not be given to the king. They will rebel. They will not pay the taxes. The Apisom Malchin Tehaznik, and the tax, that's another term, that's a generic term for all the various types of tax. The apisom means mass. The taxes of the king, Malchin Tehaznak, will be damaged. The treasury will be damaged. Jack Lew is not going to be happy. It's not going to work out. His signature is just not going to cut the deal.
The word nezek.
What?
Nezek.
Tehanzik. Nezek will be damaged. The taxes, the treasury of the king will be damaged if you allow this rebellious city to continue. To proceed. Now there are three terms here for taxes. Mindov lo v'halach. V'halach seemingly means the tolls. Go over the Verazano. You got to pay the easy pass. Halach means hoylech. When you travel and you cross a bridge, there are taxes to be paid at the crossings. Okay, vil minda and velo. So some want to translate minda. Let's see if we have the mitzudos translates each of these words. Pasuk Yud Gimel in the mitzudos. Well, let's first jump to the mitzudos tzion. How we translate minda zo mas hamelech hamutal kol b'nei hamedina biyachat. So minda means a communal tax that every country, every city has to pay a certain. How do you collect it? So we know that in ancient times, you were given the privilege. The king did not want to be bothered with the nitty gritty. So you hire a person and you say that this city has to pay me $1 million. I don't care how you get it. I don't care how you collect it. Just make sure you collect it. And the tax collector, he was authorized to do what he saw fit to get the money that was needed. And if some generous sponsor wants to give the money on behalf of his whole family, so be it. It was not an orderly, fair system. There was just a general, the king, I want a certain amount. Then it says velo. Velo means an additional tax. Kesef gul galta, skull. Every individual had to pay a head tax per person. And then we have over here the halach, who teshura hamevim lemelech be'es yalvor aleihem. So here he's something different. He said halach means a gift. The gift you give the king when you come and you pass, you enter, you come to visit. It's not really clear what he means over here in the Mitzudos Sion. But simply means the tolls. Tolls that you pay halosh of hoylech. When you travel on the roads, you pay a certain tax. Let's see the Mitzudos David. Mitzudos the Pasuk Yud Gimel. Kanev ato yehi ato now. Yehiyeh lemelech asher. Asher. It should be ato yodua yehiyeh lemelech. It shall be known to the king. Asher. If you will allow these people to build the city and to complete the walls, Minda the Goymer, Ozai Mine Hamasim, the various types of taxes, whether it's land tax, it's head tax, it's tax that you pay. I think some of them, the minda means the land tax, real estate taxes. The low is head taxes. The halach are the tolls, will not be given to the king. The mine oz mine hamasim ahem lo yitnu od ki yischasku b'chizuk o'ir v'yimrudu b'melech. They will rebel. The Jewish people will rebel. And what will be the consequence of their rebellion? The next words of the Mitzudos David, ve'apisom Hachnosas Hamalachim, the capital, the treasury, the income, the Hachnosas Hamalachim, the income of the king. The king needs the income, the taxes to pay the bills. This will be Yihye Nizak V'Nifsad Kilo Yitnu Od Mas Malche Paras. No longer will taxes be given. Now, it simply means is they'll set a bad example. If the Jewish people will stop paying taxes, then the other neighboring countries will say, why should we be different? If this city, this little teeny city with a population of 42,360 are not paying taxes, so why should we, with a population of 10 million, why should we pay taxes? They will set a very bad example, and therefore it's not in your best interest to allow them to continue paying, to allow them to continue building the city. Let's see Rashi, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Ke'an Yedia. Now it shall be known to the king. Ata Yodua Yehiel HaMelech. Di Hein Kiryasadi Sispinei. Asher imho ir hazos tivne, then da doch means zos, vishuraya yish tach lilun, and the wall will be v'hachaymos yihye miyusados, the foundation of the wall will be laid, mindov loy v'halach minei masim heim, the chesef gul goyles, different types of tax, including het tax, lo yin tinun, lo yitnu od mas, and the apesom malchin tehaznak, and the income of the king, umas hamalachim, tuzak, will be damaged. Shlo yitnu od mas limalachim. So Rashi says to the kings, who are the kings in plural? I'm not exactly sure. There was only one king. Koresh, maybe means the future kings, or maybe means other kings in the region, will not be given, and there will be great problems. Pasuk Yudalit. Ka'an. Now.
Okay. Or royalties, or whatever you want to call it.
Okay, different types of taxes. Okay, now we come to Pasuk Yudalit. Ka'an now. Kol kovel di milach hechlo milach. Now, this is a very difficult term. There are two different approaches. Let me just say it out, so then we'll read it inside. There are two different approaches. They're using the word salt. Kol kovel, because, ka'an now, kol kovel, because of di melach hechla melachna, we want the hechel to be salted. Now there are two issues. What is the word hechel? Is the word hechel holy, or is the word hechel mundane? If the word hechel is mundane, we're referring to the palace of the king Koresh. We are extremely concerned for the benefit of your hechel, of your palace, the palace of the king of Persia, Koresh Melech Paras. If that's what the word Heichel, that forces us to understand the salting, means to preserve. Salt is used, and it was used in ancient times as a preservative. There was no refrigerators. So how did you preserve meat? Well, I remember Abelsky and Tarvidas used to say in the ancient, they had walking refrigerators. What does it mean, a walking refrigerator? You don't kill the animal until you need the meat. You leave the animal alive. You can let the animal in the hot, scorching heat, 100 degree temperature, and let it walk around. As long as the animal is alive and it's walking around, it's fresh meat. So it's a hot day, and you have wonderful refrigeration, because the refrigerator has legs and is walking around. When it comes time to eat, you slaughter the animal and you have fresh meat. Walking refrigerators. But let's say you do not have that luxury. You have to travel great distances and you have to slaughter the animal, and the meat's not going to last more than a couple of days. So what would you do? You would soak it in salt. An enormous amount of salt would cause the meat to be preserved for a long period of time. So here in this context, what they are saying to the king is, we desperately want your malchus to be preserved, should last forever and ever. We want it to be salted. It's an expression from ancient times. It should be preserved. We want your palace to be preserved. And if you are going to allow the Jewish people to survive, to continue, and to build their city, to build their temple, to build their city, then your malchus will not survive. They will be a thorn in your eyes. They will rebel. They will not pay taxes. They will serve as a very bad example for all of the neighboring countries, and there will be great trouble. That is one interpretation. Another interpretation is milach means we want it to be destroyed. Eretz Melech, Rashi is going to quote this. The Beis Hamikdash, in that context, the Heichel means the sanctuary, the holy Beis Hamikdash. We're telling all of this to you because we want you to destroy Eretz Melech. Rashi will quote the Pasuk, Sodom was destroyed. Gofris v'melach shreifa chol arza. We want it to be destroyed. So let's see over here now the Pasuk. One thing, Ka'an, now, the word Ka'an means now, Kol Kovel, because, Di Melach Hechla Melachna, we want the king's palace to be preserved, the Arvas Malkol Lo Arich Lana, Arvas means like the erva, the nakedness, the insult, the harm of the king, Lo Arich Lana, it's not fitting for us, Arich, Harich means in this context hogun. It's not proper for us to witness the disgrace, to tolerate the disgrace of the arvas. Arvas in this context would mean the bizoyon, the disgrace of the king. It's not fitting for us to tolerate. Lono lemechaze to see al dino. Therefore, Aldana means Al Kane, therefore, Shalachna, we are sending you this letter, Vilhoidana Lamalka, and we are making it known to the king that trouble is brewing and you shall put an end to this Beis HaMikdash. Let's see the Mesudas Pasuk Yudalat. Pasuk Yudalat Ka'an Ato now. Ba'avu Asher Ritzimon Anu Asher HaChurban HaMikdash. So the Mesudas is following the second interpretation. He is translating the word Hekel to refer to the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore when it says salt, salt means to salt the land till it should be destroyed. Yechorov Kishahoya. We want it to remain destroyed the way it was for the last 52 years. The ervas ki bizoyin hamelech lo yofe is not beautiful. The chosher lanu, it's not fitting for us. Liros v'lishtok to see, to witness and be silent. Al dina al zos, therefore sholchem anachnu, we are sending you this letter. Umoidim lamelech, we're making it known to the king that there is going to be trouble. Let's see Rashi pasuk yudalid ka'an kol kavel di melach hechla melachnu atok kol keneged because davar zeh churban hechel on erotzim lahachriv. Rashi is learning the same second interpretation. We want the king's path, we want the hechel to be destroyed. So hechel here is a holy word, and melach means it should be salted. Di melach loshen churban. Okay, salting means destruction. Ushemamoin, desolation. Kamo eretz melecha v'loy teshev, a salty land that cannot be occupied. Melachna,
then it loses its fertility.
We want to destroy the ervas malka and the disgrace of the king. Ubizon hamelech le'arich einoy hogin lanu liros. Arich, the word arich Rashi says means hogun. It's not fitting. Kmo arich o lo arich b'mesechta sukkah, fitting or not fitting. There is an expression in the Gemara al dina al zo shalachnu v'hoidan l'melech. We're making this known. Now, what is very difficult about this interpretation, Rashi's interpretation, when Rashi over here says that it means heichel means the Beis Hamikdash. The difficulty is we discussed this in the beginning of the week, is that a Koresh has no right to reverse a previous decree. Koresh gave the Jews permission to return to Eretz Yisrael and to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. To rebuild, it was explicit. And the rule in ancient times was, the king cannot cancel a previous decree. If that was true, what were they trying to accomplish? The neighbors of the Jewish people. So we learned, if you look very carefully in the pasuk, it makes no explicit mention of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Mizbeach. It's referring specifically to Yerushalayim. The Jews were given permission to return and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, but they were not given permission to return and rebuild the city. So here they were clever in lying to Koresh that they are rebuilding the city, they're rebuilding the walls of Yerushalayim, and they are rebelling. So then he'll give a decree, stop construction, and that blanket prohibition of construction, Mimela, will prevent them from building the Beis HaMikdash. Now, that can fit very well if we translate the word Hechla to mean the palace of the king. And then melach, melachna means we very much want to preserve your kingdom, your malchus. And therefore we're telling you the Jews are building this city, this rebellious city of Yerushalayim, which is rebellious and evil. Put an end to it. So they're not attacking, they're not coming to contradict the previous decree of Koresh that they're allowed to rebuild the Heichal. But if you learn like Rashi and the Mitzudos, you have this difficulty that they are here are explicitly making a statement, Ka'an, therefore Kol Kovel, because of what we witness, Di Milach Heichla Milachna. We want, it is our will, that the temple, the Heichal, the Beis HaMikdash, should be salted, should be destroyed. You can't do that. You can't ask for something, that request, because I explicitly gave permission that it can be rebuilt. And the rules are you cannot contradict a decree that was issued. So this is indeed a very an issue with the parish of Rashi and of the Mitzudos, and that's why, as I mentioned, others, they go in the other direction. It's difficult, you have to say, it doesn't mean that. Heichla means the temple, that means the palace of the king Koresh. And Malachna does not mean to destroy, like Rashi says, Shemamon, it means preserve. We want to preserve your kingdom, and you have to remove all of the opposition. You have to put an end to this. Okay, so that's a very interesting point to be in mind. Pasuk Yutes Vav. D. Then they say something very clever. Okay, they were very, very coming to causing problems for the Jews. The Goyim were always very, very clever. They told Koresh, why don't you check into the Divrei Hayamim? Take out the history books. And all of a sudden, when it comes today, right? Today, the Palestinians, they say, oh, check the history. The Jews have no claim to Yerushalayim. It never happened. There was never a Beis HaMikdash, not a Bayis Rishon, not a Bayis Sheni. No one ever lived. Look into the history books. They want to rewrite history. Here they're saying, no, that's right, let's go look into history, and you will discover that this Yerushalayim was once the capital of the Jews, and they dominated the world. They conquered the world. And all of the other countries were subordinate to this city. Everyone had to pay taxes. They are rebellious people. They are people who they dominate. They domineer. And if you're going to let them rebuild the city, before you turn around, they'll go and they'll tell you, Koresh, to pay them taxes. So look into the history books and you will discover that this city has always been a powerful city, a country that was occupied by the Jews, that was, and they were in control of the region, and everyone was subordinate to them. Koresh, you want to go back to the olden days? You also want to be subordinate to them? Yeah.
Very interesting. No time are they telling Koresh that they're going to undermine your religion. In other words, they're attacking it from a political and financial. Yeah,
that's a very interesting point. It's not a religious, that's a very good point.
To their God, who's going to interfere with your God.
That's a very good point. That's a very, very good point. Why is that not mentioned? You're right. Because they were definitely a pagan society at this time. And yeah, I don't know the answer. It's a very good point. So it's political and a man. Yeah.
Megillah, exactly. And the Megillah, the whole reason Rabbi Alpert said, I mean, his shot is that the reason why did the Jews deserve to be destroyed, that they went to the Sudas HaKashverosh for eating tray, for eating tarfus, the punishment is not death, it's Malchus. He said because they were going to HaKashverosh, it was establishing Shushan as the new world capital as opposed to Yerushalayim. Because till then, so the Jews, by going and acknowledging that Shushan was the new capital, they would bring the Yayish and Yerushalayim, which was, for that, they deserved death.
Clear. Yeah. Okay. Okay, Pasik, called Pasik Yudalit. Pasik Tezvav. Idi, if Yivakar, you will make an inspection. You will inspect. Bisvar Doch Ro Naya. The Sifrei HaZikaron, the book of remembrance. Dichar Loshna of Zecher. We learned the Aleph Beis. We discussed that the Dal and the Zayin can be interchanged, because the truth is the Dal and the Zayin, the only difference between the Dal and the Zayin is the Dal just continues a little bit more to the left side. It comes out on both sides and it goes a little bit more on one side. So the word Dichar always is the Aramaic equivalent of Zecher. Of Zecher. So if you'll check into the books of Doch Ro'anaya, Di Avoho Soch, of your ancestors, your predecessors, Use Hashkach, you will discover. Bisfar, Doch Ro'anaya, you will discover, you will find in these books of remembrance, Visinda, and you will know, you will come to the conclusion by making the inspections, a lot of repetition in this psukim, Di Kiryas Sodoch, this city, Kirya Mirada, it's a rebellious city, Umehan Zikas Malchin, and they have always been a source of injury, of harm, of nezek to kings, umedinon, and countries. The eshtadur of din bigavo, insurrection. The eshtadur means terrible things, things which are rebellious, acts of rebellion, insurrection. The ishtadur of din begavo, acts of insurrection, rebellion were done in this city, min yomos olma, from time immemorial, al dina, until now, and therefore, al dina, therefore, and therefore, because of all of the acts of rebellion, that's why it was destroyed. They're saying to Koresh, Koresh, why has this city been destroyed for the last 52 years? Because they are a rebellious people. They are trouble. And therefore, get rid of them. Why are you allowing the trouble to come back? Why are you letting them return? They're going to cause you a lot of pain and suffering. Let's see over the Mitzudos Pasik Tes Vav. In the Mitzudos Divakar, Asher Yichapes, B'Sefer HaZichrono Shel Avosecha. If you will make an inspection, you'll bring out the Sifrei HaZichronos of your forefathers. V'Simso B'Sefer HaZichronos. Say that you'll know Asher Yichazos. He Ir Meredes Umazekes Umolachim Umolamadinos. There's a city which is a source of rebellion and harm to kings and countries. They dominate and they control other countries. The Ishtadur. What does it mean the Ishtadur was done within? Umiridois, this sarvanos, rebellion and refusal. Acts of rebellion, acts of refusal, oisimba min yimei olam, from time immemorial, and therefore, that's exactly why for the last 52 years, this country, this land, has been destroyed. Al dina, ba'avur zos, because of this reason, u'ir hazos naseh schurva has been destroyed. Let's see, Rashi pasuk tezvav, diva karashi, vakev yidra shad adoresh b'sefer hazichronos, shalva secha, malachim harishonim, if we'll call you experts, the historians, have all of the historians come and brought before you, and have them read before you the history of Jerusalem, and you will discover it is a city which has caused great harm and rebellion against other countries, the inhabitants have caused great harm, the Jews have always rebelled against the other kings. Min yoyimo olma, miyamos ha'olam, miyamim kadmoniyim, kach hoya min hogam limroid b'malchei ha'akam. And aldena, al kach hoya sohir hazos hareva, and that's why it has been destroyed. Again, it's the contrast today with the Palestinians. The Palestinians, they claim, go look in the history books. The Jews never lived here. They never lived here. They never existed. That's what they say today. We never existed. We have no claim. It's always been an Islamic city. Go look at what it says in Ezra. It says in Ezra, they said, Pum fakert. They said the Jews have always been living here, and the Jews have always dominated and always controlled us. And therefore, that's why we've put an end to them. And let's keep it that way here. So it's interesting how things change. Pasik tezayin mehod in anachna lemalka. We want to make it known to the king. Dihein, they repeat. There's a lot of repetition. He's spoken. We want to make it known to the king. Anachna malka. Dihein kiyu yisodach tis b'nei. If you're going to let this go on, you're going to let them build the city. Vishuraya yishtach lelun, and allow them to lay the foundation of the walls. Likavel dina. in response, in the consequence, the ramifications of letting them do this, chalok ba'avar nahara lo isailach. You, Koresh, will have no chelek in the land on the other side of the Euphrates. They're pulling out the trump card. They're telling him, watch out. We warn you, if you let this continue, they will have influence over the entire region. The whole region, everywhere from the Euphrates west, is not going to be to you. Pasuk Tezayin in the Mitzudos, Mehod In Moidim Anachnu Lemelech Asher Imho Irazos Tivne Vachemus Yugmu Vyushlumu Lekaval Dunabavurzos Lo Yesh Lo Chelek Be'ever Hanar. You will have no portion this side of the river. Kiakol Yimrudubach. The entire, all of the people, there must have been millions of people living there. It's so bizarre what they're saying. The Jews at this time were only 42,360 people. And there must be there living in this region millions of people. All of them are going to rebel. 42,000 people, connected the millions of people, it's a joke. Aki akol yimrdu bach bavur zos o hayehudim yiskabru. Everyone will rebel against you, or the Jews will prevail. The yimshlu heim al kol anshe ever hanor. They'll take control. Everyone will rebel against you, or the worse, the Jews will control this part of the region. Rashi pasuk tezayin me. Hoid ananachno lemalka modina ananachno lemelach di hein kiri sadach asher im hoir hazos tivne v'chamos miyusadin lekavol dunak keneged kach v'shvil kach ein lechachedim cholayv hanara lefi sheyisrael you mordim bach v'yikhu hakol miyach. They'll take everything away from you. Bever nara he kol aret shel tzad eretz Yisrael shu ever hanar leoisin shabav. Like we learned the people took him this part of the region. Pasuk Yizayin piskama this letter shelach malka al rachum. So now we get the response. So it does not tell us that it was delivered. We can imply from this break that the letter was received. It was received by the king Koresh. It was read in front of him, and now pasuk Yitzayin comes the response. So here begins piskama shelach malka. A letter was sent by the king al to rechum bal te'em v'shimshai sofra. He addresses the letter to the two main people who wrote the letter, Rechum, who is the counselor, and Shimshai the sofer, u'sheor kinavos hon, and their other colleagues, the Yosvin Bishomrin, which lived Bishomroyin, which lived in the region of Shomroyin. Shomron was the capital of the Malchus of Yehuda, which was conquered by Melech Asher and was replaced Malchus Yisrael, and was replaced with the Kutsim and the other nine nations that were mentioned in the previous psukim, u'sheor avar nahara, and all other people of the other side of the river, shalom uche'es. Now, what does that mean, shalom uche'es? So it can mean many things. Either it can mean names of people. When we learned at the beginning of the perek, we had the word shalom. So we translated there, according to Rashi, a letter of peace. A letter. Now, if you learn over here, shalom is letter of peace. What does the word uche'es mean? So some want to say ches means the date, time, ace laledes, ace lamus, ace latas, ace laka natua. So then what it means over here is, I'm sending you a letter.
Wait, either the names of cities or
names are, so let's do one parish at a time. So here he's sitting over here, I'm sending you the letter. It's being addressed to Rechum, who's the Be'el Te'em, who's the counselor, and Shimshai the scribe, and all of your friends who live in the region of Shomron, Ushaor, and the other neighbors of the Avar Nahara. I'm wishing you shalom, peace, and uche'es. What does that mean? Time, long life. I'm wishing you a salutation. A salutation, may you have peace, and may God give you time. Very interesting. But you don't have that before. You don't have that. This will then be extremely unique. Uche'es. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation is shalom is the name of a person. He was a distinguished person who lived in this region. And indeed, according to one of the original interpretations, when we started the letter, let me see if I could find the pasuk. It says a letter of shalom. Okay, in pasuk dalit, perik dalit. By pasuk zayin, where did the letter begin? Malka, kinema. Okay, I can't find it. Okay, but someone learned that the word shalom is the name of a person, and uches is also the name of a person. Okay, so that is another approach. It would be good if I could find the pasuk here very quickly. Here it is, pasuk zayin. Okay, pasuk zayin. Uvimei artach shasta kosav bishlam. Okay, so what does it mean in pasuk zayin? You go back to pasuk zayin. What does it mean bishlam? When we learned this pasuk, we translated it to mean they wrote a letter of peace. Every letter began with the word peace to the king, long live the king, peace. So it's just an expression. However, other mefarshim do not learn like Rashi and the Mitzvot. They translate the word kosav bishlam, it's someone's name. Kosav bishlam, then comes misridos, a second name, then it's tavel, uchshor chinovosav, to artach shasta. Okay, so it's someone learned that it's the name of a person. And then it goes on to list all the various people, all the way until it gets down to Rechum Bel Te'im, and then Shimshai Safra, and all of these nations, and Ushar Avar Nahara Uche'enes. Now this is fascinating, and I'm telling you now what I'm saying here. Uche'es, according to some commentators, I saw this in the Art Scroll, Uche'es really is a reference to Che'enes. Mm-hmm. We kept on discussing this place called Che'enes. What's Che'enes? We don't know what it is. It appears to be a general term which refers to the entire region of Eretz Yisrael, that entire region. Someone learned that Che'enes is an Aramaic equivalent of Kenan, Eretz Kenan. So like if you go back, you look at Pasuk Yud Aleph, at the end of Pasuk Yud Aleph, Enosh Avar Nahara Uche'enes. Okay, that name keeps on coming up. So someone learned as follows. The king wasn't interested in writing all the details. Like this letter was a lot of people signed this letter. So the word Shalom Uche'es is like writing Shin Lamed Mem, three dots. What's it called?
Ellipsis.
Yeah. And then it's just a short, I'm addressing this letter from the first person who sent it to me to the last person who sent it to me. So if you go back to Pasuk Zayin, look at Pasuk Zayin, it's a fascinating interpretation. Uvimei artach shasta chosav bishlam. The first person to sign the letter was bishlam. Right? Who else? Who else on the letter? Besides Bisham, we have also Misridos, he's number two. We have Tovel, number three. We have Uchashor Chinovoisov. We have his companions. And then we have, then the letter goes on to say who else participated in this letter. Pasuk Ches, we have Ruchum, and we have Shimshai, and they represent, Pasuk Tes, represent nine nations. They represent the Dinoye, the Afar Sas Choye, and the Tirapoloye, and so on and so forth. And we keep on going to Pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud, we have Ushor Avar Nahara Uche'enes. So from the very beginning of the letterhead, of who is being represented on this letter, we have Bishlam, going all the way down to Che'enes. So here, when he's responding, here we have over here, Koresh responding, I have received your letter and I want to give a response. I'm giving cover to Rechum and Shimshai and all of your friends and everyone else. Who is everyone else? Starting from Shalom, concluding with Che'enes.
You said the name wrong.
Which name wrong?
So
Che'es is another grammatical form of Che'enes. It's the same Shoresh. Che'enes is, you're just missing a Nun. You're missing Che'es. That's common. A lot of letters, especially Aramaic, are sometimes present, sometimes absent. So that is another interpretation. So basically, we have over here two interpretations, or really three. He's addressing that to Shalom, a letter of peace, uche'es, and time. I wish you peace and long life. Another interpretation, these are two prominent people. One is Shalom, and there was a person called Che'es. We don't know who he was, because he does not appear in the previous psukim. Some other person who was a very distinguished person. A third interpretation is, Che'es is the equivalent of uche'enes. Che'enes is a term for the region. And many want to suggest that it's the Aramaic equivalent of Eretz Canaan. So why is there word Shalom Uche'es? Well, if we interpret in Pasuk Zion that the word Shalom is the name of a person and Uche'es is the name of the region, then it means I'm addressing this letter not just to the ones, the primary signatures, not only to Rechum and Shimshai, I'm addressing it to everyone on the long list from A to Z. Who's A to Z? Shalom Uche'es. It's equivalent to saying, I'm returning the letter from A to Z. Okay, so this is, then the letter begins, and the Pasuk Yudches, he goes to Sir Nechnami, I'm going to bring an end to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, we'll stop here.